right. If the clerk will please announce counsel, who'll be arguing today?
May it please the court, Mr. Brian Perkins to argue for the appellant, Mr. Charles Crawford to argue for the appellant.
All right, thank you. Mr. Perkins.
Good morning. Here for the appellant, Sylvia Maria Ortiz. May it please the court. This is a case where we are appealing the court's dismissal of my client's whistleblower retaliation lawsuit. It was dismissed on a plea to the jurisdiction filed by the appellee, Plano Independent School District. Ms. Ortiz was a teacher within the Plano Independent School District, and she filed a grievance against the Executive Director of Human Resources in May of 2012. The grievance related to what she perceived was some mishandling and misconduct by Ms. Griffin relating to a grievance that Ms. Ortiz had filed against her principal, Courtney Gober. About 3 months or 2.5 months after she filed that grievance, Ms. Griffin placed Ms. Ortiz on administrative leave. That prompted Ms. Ortiz to file a whistleblower retaliation grievance with the Plano grievance process, which was denied by the president of the school board at the end of October of last year, and then thereafter Ms. Ortiz filed her whistleblower retaliation claim in Denton County. The whistleblower retaliation case requires 5 elements for her to prove on that point. Only 2 are at issue before this court. It's no dispute that she was a teacher, a public employee, and that the Plano Independent School District is a state or local governmental entity. And there's been no dispute or at least no objection made to Ms. Ortiz's claim that being placed on leave was an adverse personnel action in response to her report of a violation of law. The 2 issues before the trial court and before you here today are whether there was a law within the meaning of the Whistleblower Act and whether Ms. Ortiz made a report of a violation, a good faith report of violation of that law, to an appropriate law enforcement authority. As we noted in our brief, the law does not have to be specifically identified, and significantly, the employee does not have to be right about whether there was a violation of that law. They just have to hold a good faith belief that there was a violation.
But is that on the front end of the grievance process that she or he, whoever it might be, does not have to identify a specific law, just describe what they believe to be a law that could have been violated?
Right, Your Honor. They just have to identify conduct that would be a violation of a law, and then there has to be some law that conduct would violate. The petition itself specifically identifies the law that we think is at issue in the whistleblower retaliation case. And in this case, it's the PISD Conduct Code of Ethics. And there's an Educator's Code of Ethics that's enacted under state law. And the Board of Trustees for the Plano Independent School District, acting under the authority granted to it in the Texas Education Code to govern and enact rules and laws to govern the control of the school district, and converted that ethics code into one that's applicable to all PISD employees. And under the Whistleblower Act, as I'm sure the court's aware, a law is any rule enacted under statute of ordinance. So we believe that in and of itself, the PISD Code of Ethics satisfied the requirements of being a law for purposes of the Whistleblower Retaliation Act. So then the court, I believe the trial court and the record, I think, of the hearing is, I think, pretty clear that he tried to hold my client to a standard of establishing that there was, in fact, a violation, and that's not what the law requires, as this court has even held in the Teague case. But we readily concede that getting you to agree with that on this point doesn't take care of our desire that we had the case remanded back to the trial court, because you're reviewing it de novo, so you have to look and see whether the court made the right decision, even if it was for the wrong reason. We submit that it was the wrong decision. As I said, we believe that we've established that there was a law for purposes of the Whistleblower Act, and then we believe that we've established that she made the report to an appropriate law enforcement authority. The Texas Supreme Court has done a lot to try to tell us what that means in the last year with 4 decisions in the Whistleblower Act. And we believe that we're different from those cases in this case because, one, the law we're relying on was one enacted by the Plano Independent School District Board of Trustees. So we've satisfied that at one element, that it's a rule enacted by, so she reported it through the grievance process to the Board of Trustees. So we've reported it to the body that enacted the law, and then that is the appropriate authority because the other thing that, Gentilelo case says, and the other decisions from the Texas Supreme Court, Marsh, Barth, and even the one that just came out recently, I think it was Barron, they all repeat the same thing, that it's appropriate authority if they either have the power to enforce that law against third party or the general power to enforce laws against third parties. And that's certainly the case in this situation under the education code. As we note, the PISD Board of Trustees has the power to enforce laws that are applicable to third parties and not just internally. And the PISD makes a big to-do about, it's an internal report, but Gentilelo tells us that all internal reports are not prohibited under the Whistleblower Act. You just have to satisfy these other requirements, which we submit that the factual allegations in this case do satisfy. And I would remind the court, of course, that unlike the Barth case, for instance, where they're looking for evidence to support a jury verdict, this is more under a summary judgment type standard, where all we have to do is make factual allegations of the elements of our case. And we believe that we did make all factual elements, allegations addressing all five elements of a whistleblower retaliation claim. And unless the court has some questions.
But her claim is an internal claim.
It was pursued internally, yes, because that she pursued it to the entity that enacted the law. And under the grievance process, which is another provision, a rule enacted by the Board of Trustees, that is the appropriate vehicle for her to make that claim.
That's what the Supreme Court cases say, that Texas law doesn't provide whistleblower protection for internal claims. But you're saying that another portion of that case says, well, if they can somehow or another apply law to any third party about anything, even if it's not applicable in this case, that it's okay?
Yeah, Your Honor, they do not make an absolute prohibition on internal complaints. And I read briefly from the Gentilelo case, and this is first full paragraph on page asterisk 12, and I'm sorry I don't have a Southwest report or third site, where they say, we do not hold that the Whistleblower Act report can never be made internally. And so we believe we satisfy the requirements that they lay out in that case of one, they say the act's undeniable focus on law enforcement. Those who either make the law, and in this case, her complaint was addressed to the entity that made the law. And then they also talk about it must have authority to promulgate regulations governing the conduct of third parties. And in this, once again, under the education code, the PISD Board of Trustees, as are all school districts, our Board of Trustees, are vested with the power to regulate conduct of third parties as well as internally governing the school operations of the district. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Mr. Crawford.
Good morning. May it please the court. There are three reasons why this court should grant Plano ISD's plea of the jurisdiction on a de novo review. First reason, the conduct reported in Ms. Ortiz's grievance did not allege conduct that on its face would be a violation of policy DH. Second reason, policy DH, which is clearly an internal employee standards of conduct policy, is not a law or a rule subject to the Whistleblower Act's reach, because it is not applicable to third parties outside of the Plano ISD. And the third reason is that neither Plano ISD superintendent nor its Board of Trustees can be objectively considered an appropriate law enforcement authority under policy DH because, again, policy DH is inapplicable to third parties outside of the school district and therefore cannot be enforced against those folks. Third parties cannot be prosecuted for violations of an internal employee standards of conduct. I'd like to take the third reason first, because I think we are guided by the very recent Supreme Court decision in Farron, which was decided August 30th of this year. Where we need to start our analysis, and it's very important for purposes of this case, is that the Supreme Court, ever since Needham, continuing through its various pronouncements on the Whistleblower Act, says that the particular law the employee alleged was violated is critical. And here we have that law, which is policy DH, the Employee Standards of Conduct. And on its face, that policy has no application to third parties. It is only applied towards employees of the school district. It is an internal standard of conduct and has internal disciplinary consequences if you violate it. Under the Farron case, the Texas Supreme Court held that notwithstanding that this was a school district and the employee made a report to the Board of Trustees and the superintendent and the assistant superintendent and the internal auditor, notwithstanding that and the fact that the school district had an employee grievance process that encouraged employees to make these sorts of complaints and even had a hotline they could call to encourage these sorts of complaints, notwithstanding all of that, the court looked to the law alleged to be violated. And the court held that because neither the superintendent nor the Board of Trustees could enforce the law alleged to be violated against third parties outside of that school district, the plaintiff could not objectively in good faith believe that that was an appropriate law enforcement authority. Because, as the court said, that the ability for the superintendent or the board to enforce that policy internally is not jurisdictionally sufficient. And the court talks about its pronouncements, and I agree with Mr. Perkins, it's a very difficult name to pronounce. I will say the Southwest Medical Center case. They cite that and the Marino case, and the Barth case also cites these cases that all come back to the conclusion that the Whistleblower Act is outward looking. It looks for outward law enforcement, not internal. And so if the law we're talking about is only an internal law or a rule, standard of conduct, can't be applied to third parties outside the entity by those that are in charge of enforcing it, even if they could fire the supervisor for violating that policy, it's an internal disciplinary action, and the Supreme Court has said repeatedly that that is insufficient under the Whistleblower Act, and you cannot have an objectively good faith belief otherwise.
But his argument is that that case says that if Plano ISD can enforce any rule, law, statute under the Texas Education Code against a third party, that that's sufficient to get past that.
I believe that overreads the cases. I believe what the cases say is that the Board of Trustees, pursuant to the enabling statute, does have the ability to pass rules or laws that are applicable to third parties. And if we were talking about one of those rules, then it would be a different debate. But again, the Supreme Court has repeatedly told us that the rule alleged to be violated is critical to this analysis. And so the rule here isn't a rule that could be applicable to third parties. For example, Plano ISD has a policy that regulates the distribution of third-party materials on school campuses, and they have policies that regulate access to campuses by third parties. If that's the rule we're talking about, then I agree with Mr. Perkins that the cases suggest that the school board, by passing that policy could be, first of all, it could be a law, because that particular law is applicable to third parties outside the school district. And the school the Board of Trustees could be an appropriate law enforcement authority, because it could prosecute, enforce, or regulate third parties under that type of policy. But again, here we have to look at the policy we're talking about, and this is a 100% purely internal policy that was made pursuant to a grievance process that's purely internal. If third parties have complaints within the school district, it's not made under this policy, DGBA. This is a purely internal policy for employee complaints to be determined internally. And that's exactly what Ms. Ortiz said she did here. She had a complaint about her principal. So she filed her grievance with the HR director, whose duty under the policy is to hear the grievance. And she did hear the grievance. She didn't prohibit Ms. Ortiz from filing the grievance against her principal. She didn't prohibit Ms. Ortiz from having her grievance heard by her. She didn't prohibit Ms. Ortiz from appealing her denial of the grievance through the process, because Ms. Ortiz did. And so there is nothing on the face of the complaint that Ms. Ortiz is complaining about with Ms. Griffin other than the fact that she didn't like Ms. Griffin's decision to deny her grievance. And Plano ISD would suggest to the court that that conduct on its face doesn't violate the employee standards of conduct, which they say, the standard they point to says that an educator shall not interfere with a colleague's exercise of political, professional, citizenship rights and responsibilities. And the denial of a grievance, the negligence, the injudicious decision to deny the grievance, which is what the complaint talks about, on its face isn't interference with the grievance process. And based on Ms. Ortiz's experience and training as being a multi-year, highly certified employee who has filed multiple grievances and was represented by counsel, she knows that if she has a complaint with the decision on her grievance, what does she do? She appeals it up the process, which is what she did. That is not an interference by the HR director with her rights under her professional duties. It is simply the HR director doing her job that she was free to disagree with. But it doesn't state a violation of the employee standards of conduct. And the Lanes case that Ms. Ortiz has cited in her brief says exactly that, which is you don't have to specify the law you say is violated. And there actually doesn't even have to be a violation of that law. But what you say in your report, there actually has to be a law to prohibit. And policy DH, which is the policy she's relying on, doesn't prohibit bad decisions, if in fact it was a bad decision. It prevents active interference. And so that was the first reason we believe that the plea should have been granted, is because on its face, her grievance doesn't even state a violation of a law that exists. But the law we're talking about, again, must be applicable to third parties outside the school district. The Barth court, the Barth decision, which was recently handed down, does say that the University of Houston can be the rules under the University of Houston system can be subject to Whistleblower Act because of the enabling statute creating the University of Houston. And Mr. Perkins is correct. There is similar, although not the same, enabling language for boards of trustees of school districts. But in Barth, the court decided as its initial premise that that particular policy, there was no evidence that it had even been adopted by the Board of Regents. And so the court ended its discussion. It ended its analysis, and it said that because there was no evidence that the board even adopted this rule, it's not a rule or a law under the Whistleblower Act. What Barth did not decide, and is one of the arguments we've made in our brief, is that if it had gone on to decide, because the Barth court acknowledged the Supreme Court had never interpreted what a rule under the Whistleblower Act actually means. And we have cited the court to the provisions of the Administrative Procedure Act and several other decisions that talk about that act, where It talks about a rule, which is not defined under the Act, or is defined under the Act, as something that has application to third parties or third-party rights outside of just the mere internal management of the agency itself, which is entirely consistent with what the Supreme Court has been telling us in the other cases on the law enforcement authority side, saying that if you can't regulate or enforce that particular law against third parties, it doesn't come within Whistleblower Act protection because this act is outward looking. And so we would argue to the court that that same analysis applies not only to the law enforcement authority element, but also whether it is a law. And so the school district could pass a policy, a law, that has application to third parties. And we've given you an example like access or distribution of materials on campus. And that would be a law under Barth that would be subject to whistleblower scrutiny. However, if the law is a rule that has no application to third parties or third-party rights and is merely an internal disciplinary, internal employee standard of conduct policy, it is not a rule for purposes of the Whistleblower Act consistent with the Supreme Court's rationale for why you're not an appropriate law enforcement authority if you can't regulate third parties. And so in conclusion, it is the Plano ISD's position on this appeal that its plea to jurisdiction should be granted because purely internal reports made pursuant to purely internal policies that have no application to third parties generally are not subject to whistleblower protection. And so for those reasons that I've given you, we'd ask for this court to affirm the granting of Plano ISD's plea to jurisdiction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Mr. Perkins.
I will take Mr. Crawford's arguments in the order he took them, beginning with the idea of the Fanon decision. And it's distinguishable from our case for this very reason. The law at issue in that case was not one enacted by the independent school district for which Mr. Farron was employed. And so I think that's a significant difference because in our case, as I've said already, we had a law that was enacted by the Plano Independent School District. And the idea that of the third party, what the Gentilelis court says, and it's been included in the three subsequent Supreme Court decisions as well, Moreno, which I incorrectly referred to as Marsh earlier, and I apologize, Moreno, Barth, and the Farron one, is that the upshot of our prior decisions is that for an entity to constitute an appropriate law enforcement authority under the Act, it must have authority to enforce, investigate, or prosecute violations of law against third parties outside of the entity itself, or it must have authority to promulgate regulations governing the conduct of such third parties. And we've established that the PISD board has such authority under the Texas Education Code.
Perkins, how does the Plano Independent School District standards of conduct, how does that apply to third parties?
It does not, Your Honor. But I don't see anything in Barth or in the statute that says that the specific law has to be, and that was the point where I was going to, that the specific law and issue has to be applicable to third parties because what I just read to you says or has the power to regulate conduct of third parties. And the Barth case is instructive on that because the question there, the law at issue, was an internal policy under the system administrative memorandum or something like that. I apologize for not probably saying it correctly. And the issue there was solely whether the Board of Regents had enacted it under its enabling powers in the Texas Education Code. It was an internal complaint made concerning an internal administrative policy, exactly what we have here. The difference being that in that case, which was a jury verdict in favor of the professor, there was no evidence of the enactment, whereas in this case, we have allegations that have not been contested that the PISD board did enact the standards of conduct of which Ms. Ortiz has based her claim. And then briefly on the conduct and whether there's a violation, I think Mr. Crawford was drifting the same area that the trial court did as well, and that's trying to determine whether there was in fact a violation of those standards. The standard in particular that Ms. Ortiz has relied on is standard 2.4. The educator shall not interfere with a colleague's exercise of political, professional, or citizenship rights and responsibilities. And the right or responsibility that she had was the right to pursue a grievance under the grievance policy. And her complaint in her grievance was that she was misled by Ms. Griffin, and that Ms. Griffin failed to disclose corroborating evidence to Joseph Parks, head of the PISD Safety and Security Department, in connection with Mr. Parks' investigation of the then pending grievance Ms. Ortiz had against Mr. Gober. So that is her belief, that that's a violation of the PISD standard of conducts, and therefore she made a good faith report of a violation of law for purposes of the Whistleblower Act. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Perkins, Mr. Crawford. We appreciate you all being here today, and of course we appreciate your briefing as well as your oral arguments. Your case is now submitted and you all are excused. We will now adjourn court.